Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, welcome to the Brad and Bunny Basketball Podcast, featuring former Sydney Kings captain and multimedia performer Brad Rosen, alongside Australia's longest-serving basketball writer and blogger, Buddy Nodge, and me, Gilar the Invincible, the voice of the man you just had to have. Now, talking all things NBL and WNBL, here's Bradley.
Well, it's official, Buddy. Brett Brown is the Boomers coach. We all knew it was coming, but today BA have come out and said it, and it's going to be interesting times ahead for Basketball Australia.
Very much so, and I think it possibly gives us a chance to have some of those players that in the NBA that were a little bit suspect as to whether they'd make themselves available. I think it's probably a good move. I like the fact that Andre Lemanis basically decided, no, I've had enough, and has decided to step away. So it wasn't anything sinister as had been presumed. And Brett Brown is the obvious choice as the former coach of the Boomers prior to Andre, and also as a guy who's got unlimited experience in the NBL and now also in the NBA. Perfect choice.
Yeah, look, for me, I'm just interested to see what the NBA players do now. Obviously, there is an NBA coach. He'll be able to, you know, handle those egos. Obviously, Andre was doing that. But, you know, when you have to bring in someone else, obviously, the first thing is, and I'm not saying that's a negative or a positive that they have to handle the egos, but it's part of coaching now. And when you've got a new generation coming through that is younger and different, I'm excited to see what Brett Brown does. And look, there'll be pressure on him because, let's be honest, a medal, anything but a medal, is really what's expected at the next Olympics.
I know, and I'm not always sure that's a realistic expectation. I think it's
agreed.
Great. I think it's great that the players and the coaches say that's what we're after, because no point going over there saying, well, we'd like to come fourth. So, yeah, aim for gold by all means. But I think the public expectation that is is absolutely going to happen is very, very naive, because there are players that didn't make themselves available for the USA, that didn't make themselves available for Canada, for France, for Spain, et cetera, et cetera. And just as there were players missing from the World Cup for Australia, there were guys missing, good players, good NBA players from a lot of other national teams. So it's not going to be any kind of lay down misere. I think before we leave this topic, though, Brad, I reckon it is appropriate to look back on Andre's period as the coach and realize that at the last two major tournaments, which is the Rio Olympics and the World Cup in China, he did get us to the medal rounds. We came fourth on both occasions. Both occasions were our best record ever. So his period as the coach, factoring in that they entered the Asia Cup or were put in the Asia Cup for the first time, they won that and also won the Commonwealth Games gold medal. Like, that's a big deal. But the other one is, I think Andre can walk out with his head held very high.
Yeah, look, I agree. I'm excited to see what happens with the Boomers. But I do agree, and I know, I think I saw a tweet from Andrew Bogut this week saying something very similar along the lines of, you know, what he's been able to do is astounding. And I agree with you. I think it's unfair in a sense to turn around and say, well, anything but a medal is expected. But that's what is expected. Let's just be honest. Yep. We've got 13 guys in the NBA. But it's also a bit disrespectful when you think about it, when you think of all the quality that is in this NBA, in the NBA, and what's going to be going over to the Olympics. Whoa, there's some teams out there, man. I mean, you've got Spain, you've got Croatia, you've got Greece, you've got, you know, like USA, Lithuania, you know, there's some amazing teams. So I'm really, really looking forward to it. But let's move on to the WNBL and NBL. Round 6 and round 8 has finished there. Round 6 for the WNBL, round 8 for NBL. What was your highlight of the week?
Highlight of the week. I think it was really the fact that Melbourne Boomers basically reasserted themselves. They'd won the first four games of the season, then they dropped a couple, and now they've picked up a couple on the road. Beating Adelaide in Adelaide is not an easy thing to do, as Sydney and Bendigo can attest. And then to go in and knock off Bendigo in Bendigo was a very good performance from the Boomers. I think they put their hand back up as a genuine contender. So that stood out for me, and also Lindsay Allen's performances in both of those games were exactly what you'd expect from a player of her quality.
For me, I just can't go past the Flyers. I just think, you know, 7-1, they did take a hit last week where they lost or whenever that was. But I think, you know, bouncing back, getting a W, and I've just been impressed the way they've gone for a team. You know, we all know what happened in them, the history, and it was great.
You love them. Every other week, it's Southside. You're just trying to show that when it comes to the women's league, you're not Sydney biased. This has got to be, oh, the old Dan's.
Hang on. Does that mean you're saying I'm like that in the men's?
Oh, hell yeah.
Come on, Bobby.
Come on.
I'm the harshest critic if I have to, but geez, I hope they win. No, I'm joking out there.
No, you're not. See, that's it. Many a true word is spoken in jest. Yeah, Southside.
Okay. Paul Smith could be listening to this and be jumping up and down to hear that. What's your highlight in NBL? Tell me the highlight, which I'm sure millions of people will know.
Oh, absolutely. Look, the eyes of the world, that was the shot that was probably heard around the world, LaMelo Ball hitting that three at the end of regulation of Illawarra's ultimate win over Cairns. What a performance for a guy who's 18 years and 3 months old. 32 points, 11 rebounds, 13 assists. Just a phenomenal all-round performance that shows why he's so highly regarded as an NBA draft prospect. You know, I know there are people touting him for number one, and that performance certainly would have done him no harm whatsoever. That was just brilliant. That's the best game I've seen a teenager play since Andrew Gaze was 18 years old.
Yeah, I can't argue yourself? That one. I would have taken that one, but you got it first. So for me, I'm going to go Cairns beating Perth in Cairns. Now, I actually thought they could win this last week, but to back it up and do what they did, I thought Kwat Noi was great. Nate Jaiwai played his minutes. They shot 40% from the three. They just did everything they needed to do. Machado, I am loving. Absolutely loving, thinking he's doing a great job. New Bills, great. They backed it up again in Illawarra, and we'll talk about that game going into overtime, obviously losing on the back of that beautiful triple-double. But I just thought Cairns this weekend was great, and just a tick to Mike Kelly, well done for him.
WNBL wrap time.
Body, very interesting week in round 6 of the WNBL. And look, no real surprises, I don't think, but some good wins. Perth beating Sydney in Sydney, expected.
Well, they had beaten them twice in Perth, so yeah, more or less. That was Sydney's one chance, and I think that's basically Sydney saying we're not going to play any role in the finals this year, sadly.
Yeah, I can't see that as well. 2-6 now, so I agree with you. Melbourne are beating Adelaide.
Yeah, Adelaide just after halftime just really couldn't get their game going. Part of that was Melbourne's defence, but also, I mean, I think Adelaide shot 9 points in the third quarter and Melbourne shot 14 or something. It was just really hard to watch as people just couldn't finish. And then in the last quarter, Melbourne just got their role going and just continued. It was helped by the fact that Brianna Turner fouled out 3 minutes into the last quarter. I mean, she had three going into it. So she got bang, had two and was out of there. And I think at least one of those was a very unlucky call where, you know that one where you're running down the floor and you just take your eyes off where you're heading and then someone who's running with you just stops in front of you?
Hate
and
that
turn
call.
And you, yeah, I know. I hate I do
it's
too.
The right call. I just hate that call.
And when it's your fifth foul? Well,
I just hate that call, but that's what it's got to be. And then my team, the Flyers, beat Townsville 91-59. Keep rolling it on.
Yeah, 29 assists too, which is the same as Adelaide had a couple of weeks ago when they thrashed Bendigo. So that really seems to be the mark. 29 assists is a real reflection that you're playing as a team.
Yeah, Melbourne backing up after one win, getting another good win as well, beating Bendigo. No shock, but good to back up.
Yep, trailing at halftime as they were in Adelaide and overwhelmed Bendigo as they overwhelmed Adelaide. So it was pretty much a deja vu sort of two games for Melbourne. Good performances.
Yeah, and Capitals beating Perth again, I think probably flattered them to score 84-66. They were never in the game.
Well, you know, Canberra's now sort of getting that role happening that we, you know, they had that little hiccup. We don't need to keep going back to it, but they're rolling now and they're going to take some beating in and out of the Capital.
So we move to round 7 coming up for the WNBL. Some interesting games here. Could really like to see, you know, I think it's going to open up the gap a little bit. Bendigo at home against Sydney Flames. Bendigo for me, your thoughts?
Look, they're both 2-6, so the loser of this is definitely done. I'm probably even the winner of this has done, but the loser is falling out of the picture. I'm going for an upset. I'm going to go for Sydney.
Wow, interesting one. Perth versus the Flyers in Perth, though.
Yeah, shock me and don't go for Southside.
Yeah, I think, I'll go Southside.
Oh, shock. It's that light blue uniform, isn't it?
Yeah.
Likewise, I'm going for them as well. I'm not a true believer yet in Perth. I'd like to see them win some more road games.
Yeah, I agree. Capitals at home versus Townsville Capitals for me.
Yep, absolutely. And did it.
Boomers are going to... Oh, that's going to be a cricket score. Can't see them coming close to the Flames after the Flames backing up from Bendigo the night before.
Exactly. The big game is on Sunday between the second or first place to Southside and Adelaide, who are in the four. If Adelaide can get this, it does then again create more of a break between the top four and the other four that are trying to get in there. So this is a big game for Adelaide. It'll be the debut of Catherine Westbeld. But I like your team a little bit, so I'm going to go with the Flyers.
Yeah, look, I do think, you know, every team's got a loss in them when you're rolling. 7-1, which I think will be 8-1 after they win in the earlier piece of the round. Look, it would not shock me if Adelaide get that win. Just at home, they're one of those teams that I look at a little bit like, like the Brisbane Bullets in a sense, if you talk the NBL. When they're on, but you just don't know what you're going to get.
Yep. It's NBL wrap time.
Well, round 8, Boddy, wasn't it fantastic? Obviously, so many games, so much to talk about, but really, where do you start from, especially LaMelo Ball? But let's just start with the first game of the round. And look, I was really excited. And can I just add, am I right in saying that you got everyone right this round?
I'm not sure I did on our podcast, but in my at the website, botinagy.com, in my tips, yeah, I did. I picked the card, got all of them. Brisbane. Wow. I did pick Brisbane to beat Adelaide, although I didn't expect it to come down to that sort of freaky shot that Lamar Patterson hit, where he was stumbling back on the offensive rebound and just kind of caught it and flicked it, and in she went, plus the foul, and they win the game on that. That was a hell of an ending. I did hear during the call somebody saying that it was probably more important for Brisbane to win that game than for Adelaide too, and I didn't take anything negative out of that for Adelaide. I think that was a huge game for Brisbane. They had to win that because they were going to lose to Melbourne, whereas Adelaide were going to bounce back and beat New Zealand. So, yeah, I think Brisbane got the job done. They stepped up for Andre.
Yeah, brilliant. So Southeast Melbourne Phoenix versus the Kings. Look, great game. Kings had it rolling, but Phoenix seem to have this thing in them at the moment where they're not playing great at certain times. And then their energy on the back of Mitch Creek, who's in MVP performance for the league, they bounce back, but they just dig themselves in too much of a hole. Kings just keep rolling on.
Yeah, it was neck and neck down the straight there, and it was still 2 points of difference, I think, with 12.5 seconds to play when Phoenix had the last play of the game, or their last play of the game, and I think Roberson drove and then passed it to Mitch Creek, and he drove, and he was at the hoop, just needed to flick it up, and we've got overtime. He saw Dane Pinot completely free, tried to pass it to him instead of taking the shot. Pinot, who I think is already preparing for the rebound, doesn't see the ball coming, turnover, foul, two more shots for a Sydney ball game. So that was
Creek had that over. That's going up. I agree with you. Look, we spoke about Cairns. Oh, absolutely. We spoke about Cairns and Perth. That was a great game. So I'll move on to Melbourne United. Look, we both picked that. Brisbane just not in the game. Melbourne United just keep rolling on. They're looking great. I think that is 6 or 7 in a row. So looking great.
I think they've now matched Sydney's start of six wins in a row. So their next game, which is at Cairns, which is a big one, that would be the best streak of the season if they get that. But I don't know. I thought Brisbane were highly competitive, Brad. I think in the end, that 14 points may have a little bit flattered United, given that Sean Long was having the sulks and got sat down. I think he wanted to spend more time arguing with referees than playing. And you had Toey Smith-Milner come up with his 19 points without a miss from the floor, which is a phenomenal performance, and a number of the other big players all stepped up when they needed to. It was a good performance by Melbourne, considering one of their main guys was down and Casey Prather still not suiting.
Right, so there's been a question floating, and I'm going to throw that Casey Prather question. Do you keep him, or do you let him go?
Because absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. There was a just for our listeners, there's been some questions. You know, they're worried, will he get back to it? He hasn't played enough games. Do you keep him or do you replace him now? Absolutely, you keep him. Number one, they're rolling, so at least they're winning, and that yep. takes a bit of pressure off. But number yep. two, a 50% Casey Prather is better than most imports, so I agree with you. Adelaide.
Hang on, Brad. The other thing is, too, they signed him for 2 years. So they're not going to cut him off like 3 months into it. Yeah, that's just point. It's a silly conversation. As long as he can make himself, you said it a couple of weeks ago. I'm pretty sure that we'll see the best of him in the middle of January.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, what's changed? Nothing. So no, I don't think there's any change happening there.
The train wreck that's called the New Zealand Breakers came into Adelaide and did what we all expected and reverse out of there without a win. Adelaide just rolled on. Jerome Randall, awesome. New Zealand Breakers, gone.
Yeah, you call them a train wreck because they're definitely off the rails. But I actually thought they were competing quite successfully there until that point in the second quarter, which is still very early in the game, admittedly, when Corey Webster went down with a horrific twist to the ankle that looked really bad on the replays. At that stage, he had 14 points in the first quarter, hardly missed, and had four three-pointers. He was in unstoppable form. I was thinking, if he keeps this up, he's setting some sort of record for an opponent in this building. And then he goes down. The second he left, you know, as he was helped off, you basically saw the end of New Zealand's season.
Couldn't agree more. They're a train wreck. Nothing's going to happen with them. It's not even worth talking about them. Let's move on. That game last night, unbelievable. Yeah. I don't think I've seen a game like that in many years. It was just amazing. I can tell you that I've been told that they had 7 million views go globally on Melo's highlights last night, and they're rising. They're still going. Yeah. 7 million views. Yeah, absolutely. He was phenomenal. I do feel a little bit for the other players that do play for Illawarra because no one talks about them.
Tim Conrad was sensational.
Yeah, but Tim, 7 points, wasn't 10, he brilliant? Yeah.
6 of 8 threes.
Yeah, and I know, and I thought AJ, although that brain snap that he had at the end where he just pushed someone two hands in the back, what is he thinking? But he had 11 points and 10 rebounds, so I thought, he played well. Yeah, Blanchfield.
We're going to argue on this one because I thought AJ Ogilvie should have come out of that game in the last quarter. I thought the minutes that Anderson played were terrific. I don't think Josh Boone was bad either. And I think you're gambling with Ogilvie. You know, I think he's a gamble because he does have a brain snap here and then. I think he was called for a 3 second call late in the piece, and he just does some dumb things. And he misses two shots point blank, shoves Machado in the open court, gives Cairns just a little bit of an opportunity to come back when the game should have been wrapped up. I thought it's interesting to me watching coaches when their teams go into overtime, how they start to pucker up a little bit and get a little bit frightened to make too many changes. But I would have made that change. I was an Ogilvie fan, but he's just too erratic and too inconsistent these days. I mean, you look at his numbers and you go, okay, but compare his minutes to the other two big guys.
Well, it's a good point. 27 and a half minutes compared to 14 for Dave Anderson and 17 for Josh Boone. So valid points. Look, the only thing I say about AJ, and I've watched a number of him games. He was at Sydney. I've called a lot of Wollongong games over the years. And he is one of those players that when AJ's on, they don't lose. Now, I know I'll get smashed on social media. That's fine. But what I'm saying is when he has good games, and he's had good games in the past, when he has that 20 and 10 or 15 and 12 and things like that, Illawarra always win because he's one of those players. He hasn't done it for a long time. I thought last night was one of his better games. 11 points, 10 rebounds. The 3 seconds, but the push in the back was just stupid. Yeah. That's just as simple as it is. That could have lost him the game. He's just lucky. But I'll tell you the one guy, Sunday Deck, that guy is hooping. 15 points at 54%. One of one from the three-point line, but 5 of 10 from the field. Go with that 5 rebounds. His defense and the tenaciousness is brilliant. He's been the unsung hero.
Yeah, and the smartest play he made all night was when he had the ball in the keyway and they're 3 down and the clock is ticking away to the end of the game. He's smart enough to pass it out to a 3-point shooter. LaMelo Ball just steps into the pass, swish, beautiful, overtime. That was a smart play, and I'm not sure that's a play that he would have made, say, last season because he hadn't had the experience of playing, but he's a smart kid, and that was a really good decision. Unsung hero for me still, though, is Conrad. 27 points, 6 of 8 three-pointers. Does anyone notice that? I saw it.
Yeah, that's great. And in 30 minutes, mind you, 27 points. I do think we've got to touch on Cairns because they didn't play poorly. Illawarra were just great. And New Bill, 27 points. He was great. Machado, I am loving him. 22 points to go with his 12 dimes as well. I just thought, you know, and even Majok Denka, you know, 19 off the bench. Yes. Kwat Noy, 17. I thought Cam Oliver struggled. He did have 10 rebounds, but he shot, you know, 4 of 10 from the field for his 10 points. But, geez, it was a fun game to watch.
It certainly was. If anything, if I'm Mike Kelly, I'm very disappointed with the way they came out, because if you've just beaten Perth and you're on a bit of a roll, to come out as poorly as they did, to be 12 down at halftime, to have given up 59 points, that's a lot of points to give up. You're not playing, you're not doing your fans or yourself justice. And then to have to dig yourself out of the hole, that's a hard thing. I know you've played a lot of NBL ball. You know that when you're stuck behind and you're chasing and you're chasing and you're chasing, it's very, very hard. And it's a very hard night. Now, I don't know why they do that to themselves when they had a chance to build on that Perth win. Had they won that game, Brad, we'd be now talking about them as a possibility for fourth place. We'd have to bring them into the conversation. So it's not just Adelaide and South East Melbourne, Phoenix and Brisbane, but now it's Cairns. But now they're not in that conversation because they came out and played a dud half. And I'm disappointed with that.
Yeah, that's a very good, very, very valid point. So we move to the previews of this week. Round 9 coming up. I'll tell you, I'm struggling with this first game. Cairns versus Melbourne. Now, everything says Melbourne. You'd think that. But Cairns, geez, they're playing well. They've just beaten Perth, gone to Illawarra in overtime. That was beaten Perth twice in a season. They are a good team. Now, I know you said they're probably not going to make the playoffs, and I agree with you. But, geez, Melbourne United, maybe this is just one of those games. And I do know they don't play well usually in Cairns. They haven't got a great record.
No, I'm with you. I don't discount Cairns. I'm just saying that had they beaten Illawarra on Monday night, then they would be really in that conversation. Now they've got to do it again. Now they've got to take another big scalp just to sort of convince themselves that they're a realistic finals possibility. And knowing that they lost that game and have beaten Perth and have beaten Melbourne and Cairns already, I would not be surprised if this is the one where they do the bounce back. Where they come out and they play great. You know, Nate Jawai goes after Sean Long in the middle and Cam Oliver finds his game and the guys that need to step up do. And bang, Cairns gets the win. That would not shock me.
Well, there's some interesting ones that I'm really looking forward to in the game. Of course, not to mention Machado versus Trimble. That'd be awesome. The two of the best NBL point guards. I should also mention Chris Golding. For whatever reason, he just seems to struggle a bit in Cairns. He has less points average in Cairns than any other NBL venue. And the last time he was there, he shot 3 of 14. So anything could happen in this game.
Yeah, because I thought there were a couple of moments in the game at the weekend over Brisbane where he was a little bit frustrated that he wasn't quite getting the ball where he needed to. He made a couple of shots that were phenomenal, that really just you just take him for granted. There was a couple, there was two on the baseline where he had to drive and you know, balance was out, everything, but he's just got enough poise in the air to get it done. So he just looked a fraction frustrated. I'm sure he was thrilled with the win and all of that, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is his breakout game in Cairns, Brad, actually. Mm,
good one. Saturday night. The last time these two faced off, it was the most watched game in NBL history. What will deliver in this rematch when the New Zealand Breakers at home take on the Illawarra Hawks? Of course, we're talking about the Ball versus Hampton part two.
Well, when the first one, the biggest highlight of that game, I think, was Hampton's block of Ball's shot. I think most people would still remember it. He came out of nowhere and rejected it. I mean, Ball bounced back. I think he had a dunk shortly afterwards, but that was the moment. This time around, I think LaMelo has just been developing so much over the last few weeks. Like, I think we discussed it earlier in the season. I said at this point I thought Hampton was the best of the main three Next Stars guys. Not anymore. I think Ball has definitely now taken over the number one mantle. So, yeah, this is a heck of a matchup. But it's about the only thing that's interesting because – the Breakers, man, they're heartbreakers.
Oh, mate. Well, just I think Scotty Hobson's due back. So he set out the last 5 games with a knee injury. So my mail is that he is expected to make his return for this one. So in theory, that should just make them crap. So with him being back, because that means they're getting better.
Brad, tell the three or four people that are listening what you really think.
Oh, hang on. I didn't think we were counting my mum and dad and brother.
Okay. Relatives not included. Jeez. Then we're just doing it for our own benefit. But anyway, look, no, I tend to agree. I'm disappointed with Ty Abercrombie. I think for a guy with his international experience, Larry Sengstock medalist, three-time championship winner, I think he needs to step up and do more, and not just when they're playing in Auckland. I thought his game in Adelaide was very disappointing, to be honest.
Next game, Boddy, Brisbane Bullets at home versus the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. I'm looking forward to this one. Ben Madgen's 150th game, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. Great guy, but Lamar Patterson versus Mitch Creek, so should be a great game. Jeez, I toss a coin this one. I'm going to go for the Phoenix, though.
Yeah, it's a really hard one for mine because this is an important statement for the Phoenix to make to win outside of Melbourne. Now, when they were in Perth, they didn't do terribly well. So it's huge for them. But also Brisbane's season is teetering, and if they could get this, that puts them right there, right next to Phoenix in the race for the fourth spot. Wow. Coin toss. Now, I'm actually going to go Brisbane.
Mm-mm. Okay, double header on Sunday. Wow. Andrew Vogut versus Sean Long. Casper Ware versus Melo Trimble. Melbourne coming into town, 1-2. This is going to be a game. Both teams in red hot form. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with Melbourne on the Friday night, but we'll deal with that as it goes. But what a game this is going to be. I'm expecting a massive crowd. I'm actually going to be there calling the game. I cannot wait. Games of the season, 107 to 104 the last time they played in round five. That was the one that Will Weaver got ejected at halftime.
Yep.
Well, what are you expecting on this one?
He'll get ejected at three-quarter time. No, I expect Will to comb his hair a little nicer. But look, yeah. this should be epic, absolutely epic. One of the games of the season. And again, you know, it's two of the teams, two of the three teams that we discuss as the genuine championship contenders. So it's probably bigger for Melbourne. I know they got Sydney the first time, but we did have those circumstances where Will Weaver did lose his mind at half time. So all things being equal, if Melbourne could win this one, then I think you've got to put a real big tick about their chances of winning the championship. I don't expect them to beat Sydney in Sydney though.
Well, how's this from the Kings owner Paul Smith on Twitter? This is personal. Our team and supporters were not treated very well in Melbourne a few weeks ago. Get off the ledge, Sydney. I will be unhappy if our fans don't throw a mopped off level two onto the court. He's throwing it out there. Love it.
Yeah, you want some passion. I love that sort of thing. Yeah, it's good.
You and me both. We round out the round That's good. We round out this round. Perth to Adelaide, another beauty of a game. Like in theory, what you and I both predicted as the top four: Sydney, Melbourne, Perth, Adelaide. Yes. So obviously, beware of the wounded Wildcats. Obviously, they're coming off disastrous fourth final quarter fade out in the Kings. They'll be looking to bounce back in a big way in front of what should be very passionate home fans.
Think about this and see if you've got an answer. When was the last time you remember Perth? Any opponent of Perth's going on an 18-0 run in a last quarter.
Yeah, I don't. You're right.
Yeah, that's the correct answer. You don't remember that because it's never happened.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
That's what happened in Cairns. And so, yeah, I that was very un-Wildcats basketball. So, I think they'll bounce back too. I don't know what the status of Tericho White is for this game. If he plays, obviously that's a factor. But same with Adelaide. Who would have believed that Brendan Tees missing the game against the New Zealand Breakers would be something we should be concerned about? But what a game he had in Brisbane prior to that. So he should be back from his concussion protocol. Oh, Perth at home. I still like them at home.
Yeah, I'm going for Perth. But, geez, Nick Kay versus Griffin, you know, two of the best power forwards. Kay won the last matchup. Looking forward to that. Bryce Cotton, he was restricted to 10 points last week in Cairns. He'll come out firing. And what about Anthony Drimmick? This guy's in a contract year. In the last three games, he's averaged 20 points a game, Boddy. He is shooting the lights and the focus of him.
Yes, and the thing I haven't heard anybody from the mainstream of voices that we hear coming at us all the time say anything about most improved player. Surely he's got to be in that conversation.
Good point. Yeah, good point. He's certainly been up there.
Here comes Nudge's Nasty.
We've got to stop the flop. I know we've been against the flop since day one, Brad, but it's I'm seeing it so much now in the WNBL, players that drive to the basket and feel the slightest of contact, throw their head back as though they've been, you know, karate chopped in the hip or something. You know, players run it, stepping in front of others and then falling over. This kind of stuff is just BS to me. I hate it. And I hate the fact that our officiating standard is so poor and so unable to read the game that they actually call the fouls for the wrong people instead of giving flop warnings. I'm sick of it. I reckon it's a real bane on our game.
Uh-oh, Rosen's rattler.
Well, my rattler this week is going to shock you, buddy. The New Zealand Breakers. Come on down.
They're going to love you across the Tasman.
You know what the problem is? I do love that team. I love what their culture is. I love what they've been able to bring. But this year, it's a train wreck. I love Jared Weeks' game. I love Abercrombie's game. I've loved what they bring every week. Corey Webster's having, you know, literally a career year outside of doing his ankle the other day. But what is going on there? There's stuff going on in airports. There's stuff going on off the court. There's sackings. There's arguments. It's just unbelievable for a team that I just love watching. This is... is it five times they've been champions? Another one, the three-peat. Is it five in total? I think they have. This team has won, four. Four championships, whatever, over 10 years or whatever. I know I'm probably wrong there a little bit. But they were creating a dynasty. Well, I don't know what they're going to do right now. They need Mika Vekona back there to sort this out.
Yes, absolutely. But so I'm completely at odds with what you said at the beginning where you said that, you know, you love the culture. I think you're mixing it up with the previous culture of the New Zealand Breakers.
Sorry, you are right. I loved what their culture was. Yes, you're right. Yeah. That's exactly what my point is.
Richard Clark, Andre Lemanis, Dean Vickerman, Paul Henare, Mika Vekona. These were the people that set the culture, and none of them are there. And what we're seeing now is a total breakdown of that culture. Just as we discussed last week, whether Glenn Rice Jr. is guilty or innocent or whatever, but what is he doing in a pub at 2 a.m.? You know, that's not what sportsmen should be doing, professional sportsmen. What is the guy doing on a plane where he has to be met by police when the plane lands? You know, this sort of stuff, that's not a good culture. I think the first thing you've got to do now, I really think, Brad, the first thing they've got to do is appoint a coach.
You've been waiting to say that all year, haven't you? Come on. You have been waiting to say that all year. It's taken nine rounds to get there, but I love it. BOTINAGY.com. I love it when you write stuff. You are the best writer in the game. Talk to me about your player of the week.
Oh well, I think that was a pretty easy one in both. Actually, I mean, LaMelo Ball just stood out for the NBL, and Lindsay Allen had a terrific weekend for Melbourne. Got the rankings, got the tips. Like I said, got all the NBL tips this week. So those of you that are putting a bit of money on it, hey, I'm the guy.
I love it. Hey, everyone, make sure we'd love to hear your feedback. We're loving the show. We're obviously a number of weeks in now. We'd love to get some feedback of what you guys are liking out there and girls listening. We've got a Gmail, bradandbody@gmail.com. That's A-N-D. So BRADANDBOTI. So bradandbody@gmail.com. We're on Twitter, Brad and Body, Instagram, Brad and Body. We'd love to hear what you've got to say. Subscribe, like, review, do whatever you like. We'll take it all on the chin, no worries. Body, you are a legend. I love doing this, having so much fun with you. And we make sure we come back next week. And thanks for joining the Brad and Body podcast.